Yes, I've definitely told about the left tackle position, but I feel like I'm definitely able, athletic enough to make the switch over, and very, very versatile. So I feel like I can go out and make the switch pretty seamless. But, you know, at the end of the day, if they need me to switch over and play other positions, I'm open to doing that. I'm just here to try to help this team win championship.
Arizona with a prayer that will not go, and the Tigers of Princeton growl their way into round two.
It's Beekman. Good if it goes! Furman has won!
And that'll take us to the end. The Kansas Jayhawks advance to the second round. Tigers of the SEC will advance. The star is just dribbling it out with his teammate. Those two guys were pretty special, Hodge and Brown, and they'll advance.
Anyone else who has not had a chance to ask a question?
Man, we got a lot of questions now. We wasn't supposed to be here. They said we was losing today. No. So they got questions.
Okay.
They got questions. Let's go. Ask some more questions.
Good morning, Kansas City. Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and the Drake Jason Justice. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Friday, March 17th, 2023. Day one of the NCAA tournament is in the books. Man, was it a good one. Unbelievable. Right off the bat, we got a huge upset. Ended up getting a couple of huge upsets. Mizzou won a freaking NCAA tournament game for the first time in 13 years. Can you believe that?
That deserves one shining moment right there.
13 freaking years. I just kind of put that out of my mind, and I didn't realize it had been 13 years. I knew it would have been a long time. How's that? It's wonderful. That's how it is. But, man, that was awesome. That was awesome. I don't know what else to tell you. And then later on in the day, you know, you're thinking, okay, oh, here we go. They're gonna play Arizona in the second round. Hey, if they play their best ball, if they play their A game, they could beat Arizona. Who knows? Arizona struggling with Princeton. Arizona didn't look great. Arizona's losing to Princeton. Hold on here. Wait a minute. Wait 1 second. And then Arizona lost to Princeton. And so now, instead of having to face the number two seed in the South region, on Saturday, Mizzou will take on the 15 seed Princeton. And look, let me tell you, I ain't taking nothing for granted. I'm not one of these people that are already putting Mizzou into the Sweet 16. Princeton beat Arizona for a reason. Anything could happen. We've seen many times Cinderella not just stop at one win, but put together a couple of wins and make a run at the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And I've seen Mizzou lose to a 15 seed before in my lifetime. And so already, you know, people were getting cute on Twitter and preemptively making fun of me for losing to a 15 seed, whatever. I'm just enjoying this. I'm just enjoying this win. I mean, I haven't even really wrapped my mind around the fact that Princeton beat Arizona. I was still so thoroughly happy that Mizzou beat Utah State 76-65 and got their first NCAA tournament victory in 13 years. And hey, now was I all fired up? Sure, it was great. I watched the end of that game, and Princeton came through and won and beat Arizona. And who would you rather play, Princeton or Arizona? Well, Princeton. You'd rather play the 15 seed. But that's no guarantee that you win and move on, okay? If it was a guarantee, then Arizona would have beat Princeton, and it would be Mizzou against Arizona on Saturday. All I can tell you is it's awesome. It was great. It was great. So if you're a Mizzou fan, man, just like I said yesterday, like I talked about with John Sundvold, there was a time when the expectation was to go to the NCAA tournament every year. And that had over the past decade, that had gone away. And I think all Mizzou fans should understand and should have the proper appreciation for, once again, making it to the NCAA tournament and winning a game. Because, again, 13 years, that's a long time in between NCAA tournament wins. And now they do have a golden opportunity to go to the Sweet 16. I mean, it's unbelievable. They get to play the 15 seed. Is that an automatic win? No, it is not. And so Mizzou still has to go out there and take care of business. Arizona couldn't beat them, so we'll see if Mizzou can. And so that's just, but it's awesome. It's great. It's wonderful. I love it.
Think about it this way. Missouri, as we sit here right now, has better odds of going to the Sweet 16 than the Kansas Jayhawks do.
Is that true?
Missouri's a 6.5-point favorite. And Kansas is a 3.5-point favorite. Missouri is -275 to win. Kansas is -190 to win. So Missouri does, like you said, not guarantee, but they have better odds of going to the Sweet 16 than the Kansas Jayhawks.
Why do they keep doing this where they make Missouri and Kansas play right around the same time?
I don't know.
I'd like to be able to watch both games, but yeah, whatever. At least there's around an hour separation. Kansas and Arkansas. In Arkansas, they hold on. They were up 17 against Illinois, and then Illinois came all the way back and at least made a game of it in the last couple of minutes. But Arkansas wins, and that game will take place around 4:15 Central Time on CBS on Saturday. And then the 7:15 matchup between Mizzou and Princeton, that's going to be around 5:10 Central on TNT on Saturday. So, get ready. That's going to be fun. I can't wait for that. And yeah, does it make you nervous? Sure. You're in the NCAA tournament, you'd be nervous whoever you're facing in the second round. But man, let me tell you, yesterday was awesome. From the Furman win over Virginia, and the dramatics, and I was lucky enough to be sitting there with my wife watching that game. We ordered some Leo's Pizza, which is the Northland classic. If you know Leo's, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you.
I have to go to Leo. I don't know Leo's.
Leo's is
is that the infamous place where a former Kansas coach was running his mouth at the end after
Chiefs season? No, okay. but so Leo's, and I can't say it's a pious thing, because I think most Northlanders love it, but back when I was at St. Pius, that's when I first got introduced to it, like my freshman year, that's where we'd go after football games or on a date. You know, it's a pretty good date. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to take her? I'm taking her to Leo's, then we're going to go see a movie at Metro North.
Ooh.
Or maybe Metro North Plaza. I don't know. Cruise North Oaks, something.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Maybe go to Perkins afterwards.
Nice.
Get a full Friday night. I don't know. And so, but that was the place where after my dad left our home, you know.
Went on vacation.
Well, no. This is just when he was still in Kansas City.
Oh.
But
gotcha.
Kind of decided, I like this family better than that one. I'm going to go over here. So, whatever. Hey, let's... You laugh at my pain because it's true. Whatever.
What are you going to do?
Whatever,
you know?
Me and my dad, we love each other.
Yeah.
You know,
it's life.
You know, I try
it's
to
life.
Look back and try to understand things.
Yeah.
But so then, anyway, so then, my mom would always be looking for ways, you need to get back at that son of a bitch somehow. And so my dad was very distant at that point from me, but would. I don't know. Every now and again, he'd do something nice for me. So he was friends with the guy that owned Leo's Pizza, and he set up, whenever my son comes in here, just he's not going to pay. Just give me the bill at the end of every month or whatever. And so I caught wind of this. I said, oh, really? Is this what we're going to do? And, like, more importantly, like, Tom and Caesar and everyone found out. And we went through, and my mom found out. She's, do it. Do
order
it.
Order all the pizza.
And, like, my mom, my house is where everyone would go. My mom was, you know, everyone, she was like everyone's second mom, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Leo's and spend a bunch of money. And so, like, 1 month, we went there all the time. And we, you know, we'd be there like 5 or 6 or 7 people, you know. I got it, everybody. Give me your checks. And so my dad, like one day, I guess when he went to go pick up the tab, phone was ringing. He's trying to call the house, trying to call my 722. It just went, you know. And I, you know, and my mom's like, maybe if you spent more time around him, he'd know what he did. Click, you know, it was great, right? So Leo's always has, you know, and my dad likes Leo's too. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
And whenever I go, Dad, what are you eating for dinner? I go, Leo's pizza. He goes, well, and you can't have any, you know, whatever. There better not be a tab up there. So that's an inside joke with us.
Yeah,
but I love it. You got to go there.
It's, yeah,
got to
go there.
But there's been like Veach and Andy Reid go up there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's the it's kind of like a St. Louis style.
St. Louis, I like a St. Louis style pizza. I do. I don't care what anybody says.
Get the salad. There's more cheese on the salad than there is on the pizza.
Yep.
But that's just, you know, and so like that's one of our special deals because you know you can't.
Yeah. So you're doing Leo's pizza yesterday.
So we got Leo's pizza. We're watching the game. We're watching Furman. We're watching Mizzou. And that damn Furman game, that ending, was just unbelievable. The way they beat Virginia, and then later on to watch. To watch the 2 seed, I mean, it's just, you know, you're getting ready to. I'm watching this thing, trying to scout Arizona. Like, how does Mizzou match up against this team? And then all the while, it was Princeton who they're going to match up against. And I was keeping an eye out, like, you know, Missouri and Kansas playing at the same time. And for a while, they're like, why is that game tied?
Yeah.
Why is that game a 1-score game? What is going on between Howard and Kansas? But then in the second half, Kansas did what they were supposed to do, and. Ran Howard off the floor, but I mean, what a first day of the tournament, you know?
Yeah, I was eating a less authentic pizza at the Pizzeria Uno in the Aurora area of Colorado by the airport, but it actually worked out great because the bar wasn't even open there, and I walked in, I told the guy because I had like a couple hours before my flight, I actually moved my flight back. A couple hours so that I could watch the KU and Missouri game before I got on a plane. And so I went in.
Really?
And because I, you know, I don't want to be flying while those games are going on. And so I went into this place and the, you know, it's the middle of the day. So the bar area was, they didn't have a bartender or anything. And I said, hey, man, is it okay if I sit at the bar and order some food and watch these games? He was like, yeah, fine. So basically I had the bar to myself, had 3 TVs up, had my iPad on for a 4th game. And, at that time, the Maryland-West Virginia game was going down to the wire. Unfortunately, West Virginia and Bob Huggins, they kind of blew that one. The Kansas game was close. The Virginia-Furman game was going on, and the Missouri game was going on. And at that time, it was close. Like, all the games, all 4 of those games were within, like, 4 points at one point in time. And I just thought, man, this is nice right here. It was fun. Started off the right way. And you're right, man. The ending of that Furman game, that poor kid that threw that interception.
What a terrible pass.
Oh, man. Terrible. I feel bad for some. You don't want that to be your memory of the NCAA tournament, you know? Man.
Furman still had to make the shot, though.
Yeah, and that was, what a shot.
Well, day one in the books. We're going to have Stan Weber on to talk about K-State and their matchup against Montana State coming up a little bit later. Then we'll have our Border Patrol fast break. No no Gabe DeArmond, but we'll play like a group interview with Kobe Brown that I sent to Drake last night. So that's a good replacement, just listening to Kobe Brown talk about the game. And then we'll check in with KU and K-State. And also Jarrett Sutton will be in studio. He can break down all of the games that took place yesterday, preview the games today, and also talk about the long list of Missouri memes that I sent him and John Sundvold repeatedly until about 10 or 10:30 when I was told to put my phone away. And so a lot of good things happened yesterday. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. So yesterday, talking about the Mizzou win over Utah State, I thought one of the most probably the most important stretches of the game is when Kobe Brown took the game over. He with 9:52 left, and Utah State had taken a lead 49-47. He had that great move that was one-on-one. He had that great move where he kind of hesitated and then, you know, turned his defender around and went to the basket and had the dunk.
The spin move and then the reverse dunk. That was an incredible play.
And so, and then Utah State answered. But then Kobe Brown made back-to-back threes. And so that's 8 straight points. And then he made a free throw. So that's 9 straight points. Utah State, and that gave Mizzou a 56-51 lead. Utah State hit a layup, but then Kobe Brown made another 3-pointer. And so he had a stretch right there where he scored 12 straight points for Mizzou over the course of about, I don't know, 3.5-4 minutes of game time, almost 4 minutes of game time. He and it was Mizzou was down 2. And so in about 3 minutes and 50 seconds of game time, he scored 12 straight points and turned a 2-point deficit into a 59-53 lead. And then right after that, Damoy Hodge hit another 3, gave him a 9-point lead, and they were able to pretty much keep Utah State at arm's length from that point on. But the game turned, and damn it, what did John Sunvold say yesterday? Because when I was asking him about Kobe Brown, I said he's a problem for any team because he's a difficult matchup. Because he can play bully ball, he's a good passer, and he's turned himself. That's the most, I think, shocking thing about this year for him. He's turned himself into such a good three-point shooter, right? Mm-hmm. And you saw that in that stretch where he had 3 threes in that stretch. And when I was talking to John Sunvold, and he said, I like the word you used, you called him a problem. He is a problem. But he said when he wants to be, because sometimes he defers. And this year, going into this year, I think he was always more comfortable being a complimentary player or not being the guy. And that's something that several people have told me, including John Sunvold, that Dennis Gates and the coaching staff have done everything they can to coax that out of him. Where it's like, you got to be the guy. You're the best player on this team. And sometimes you're the best player on the floor. You got to take over the game. And that was one of those situations because in the first half, man, they had a quick whistle. He had 2 fouls. And so they were trying to sub him in and they missed. He sat for a while. I think he only had 6 points in the first half, but he didn't get a chance to really have a huge impact on the game in the first half because they were trying to keep him from getting his 3rd foul. And there's a few times where he subbed him in offense for defense, and Dennis Gates was really, really smart and got to halftime with a lead and with Kobe Brown still only with 2 fouls. But he was unable to really establish his dominance in the game. But in that stretch, you saw how good he can be. And I saw people tweeting out in NBA scouts, like, he might have got drafted yesterday just based on that stretch, right?
Yeah.
He took that game over and scored 12 straight points and put Mizzou in command of that game late in the second half.
You want to talk about efficiency. For a guy to go for 19 points on 8 field goal attempts, 7-for-8 from the floor, 3-for-4 from 3, that like describes everything you just mentioned about a guy that you almost ask yourself, how did he only shoot the ball 8 times? In a game like that, he could have had 40 points. But he deferred to his teammates some. He got everybody else involved. When they needed him to take over the game, he did. And I think, like, when you talk about being drafted, that sequence, I was locked in on the Missouri game during that sequence. Because I was, like I said, I was watching kind of all 4 games at the same time, but I happened to be watching closely. That spin move and dunk was so impressive because of the agility that it takes. You know, for a big guy to execute that spin move with the footwork and then the finish that he had, that's the kind of thing where you go, okay, that's a big guy with some, you know, with some footwork. And then to step right outside and show shooting range the way that he did, That's, I mean, that's what the NBA is. Big guys that are agile and can shoot. Everybody can shoot at that level. Man, yeah, what a performance by him. And what do we talk about? Yeah, Utah State, great shooting team. But when they played against really good teams, their shooting percentage somehow wasn't so great.
Ice cold in the first half.
And you know what? A lot of that was because of Missouri. You got to give, I mean, Dennis Gates, a couple things about him, man. I know you don't need me to sing his praises to you, but
go ahead.
As an outside observer, number one, okay, what's the other team do? We're going to make them beat us another way. They shoot the three well. We're going to make them beat us another way. So Missouri was overplaying everything beyond the perimeter, and they gave up a lot of shots at the basket, which is hard to do. The reason that a lot of times good shooting teams are able to get those shots off is because your instinct is, well, I don't want to get beat to the basket. I don't want to keep giving up layups. But they kept saying, you're going to have to keep beating us left-handed, basically. You're going to have to keep beating us in a way that you don't want to beat us, which is taking the ball to the basket. We're not giving up open looks. And they found a way to still shoot 24 threes, but most of them were not good looks. And Missouri overplayed out there, and they took that away from them. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Dennis Gates and the team for sticking with the game plan, because in the first, until that stretch by Kobe Brown, it was a close game. And they could have abandoned the game plan and said, man, they're killing us by getting to the rack. Let's change up. But they stuck with it. And the other thing, man, I don't know that I've seen a better coach outside of Bill Self at out-of-bounds plays.
Yeah. And out of timeouts.
Out of stoppage. You know, when they come out of a timeout, they get a basket every time. They get an open look every time anyway. And, like, Bill Self is obviously, he's been kind of known as the master of that. But Dennis Gates he did that in the SEC tournament, I saw.
Even when TNT doesn't show it. There's one basket they never showed. Like, what happened? They scored, okay, great. Well, then they never showed the replay. I still don't know what happened. Do we have that clip?
It all opened up out of order.
Hang on. But it's from Des Moines Hodge. It's in the MU Sound, the Border Patrol folder. I think it's 25-second clip. Des Moines Hodge, who, and by the way, I told Lebo, he asked me how many steals he was going to have, and I said 4. Yeah, I think he ended up with 5. But he had 23 points. That's the other guy. He's a stud.
Yeah.
And the way he disrupts passing lanes and everything else, and that he should have been on the all-defensive team in the SEC. But here's Des Moines Hodge talking about what you were just mentioning. Says forcing Utah State to shoot inside shots was all part of the plan.
So the approach was to pressure like four court man like we always do. We know what they wanted. They wanted jump shots. We trying to force them to the basket, make them take twos, and make the big man score. When they drove, we flared out to the shooters because we know that's not what they wanted all night. They didn't want the big men to score. They wanted the shooters to shoot. So, and just running them off the line, making them take tough threes, forcing them into bad shots, just helped us out in the long run.
Des Moines Hodge with 23 points in Mizzou's win yesterday. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's play the other clips from post-game of the Mizzou game. Any specific order you want me to go in, Drake? I want to connect with you on
just
a different level.
You know, they're just kind of up here in random order, so just kind of talk about the one you want, and I'll find
it. Can we throw Lebo under the bus by any chance for this?
Sure. Yeah,
I definitely blame him.
Todd? I told you to make things easy for the Drake, Todd. He's filling with Marco, and you made it more difficult?
There's some KU, there's some Mizzou, there's a lot of things, and I opened them all up at the same time, and they all just kind of came up out of order, so I can find them.
Oh, did you say there's some KU sound? Oh,
we're gonna have both back to back here. Let's go with Dennis Gates. We were talking about Kobe Brown and how good he was in the second half, especially in that stretch where he scored 12 straight points. And this is the clip. Dennis Gates had to interrupt a question because of how good Kobe Brown was in the second half.
Your player next to you, Kobe Brown. I think he scored 10 in the next 12.
He scored 12.
You're on top of it. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Can you just talk about that performance? Because it seemed like after Dan Akin got those two back-to-back dunks, he went off.
Right.
Kobe went off.
I think our philosophy is not blinking. We didn't blink no matter what the crowd noise was, no matter what the response or the difficulty in the plays that Utah State made. They're a good team. They were supposed to go on the run. but we're a good team as well, and we were supposed to respond. And our guys stepped up and responded. Kobe Brown, he hit 12 points out of the 20, and then DeMoy Hodge, I think, hit the next eight. So the big picture is this. Our team is balanced, and I'm proud of the way we respond in adverse situations.
All right, next clip from Dennis Gates. Here he says there's more to Kobe Brown than just what he does on the court.
He's a kid that is humble, a kid that is very unselfish, a kid that has a high level of empathy, but also a young man who knows what he wants in life, comes from great, great family, but more importantly, he plays the game the right way. Hopefully what I know that teams in the NBA will know, but hopefully they'll understand how impactful he is. But he's our MVP, I can tell you that. And ultimately, when he started making some shots in that second half, he immediately made eye contact. What were you saying? He said he's here. And I said, yes, you are. We can see.
And see, that's kind of what we talked about, where Dennis Gates and the coaching staff have had to kind of pull that out of him. Like, you're the guy. You're the alpha. You need to be the guy taking the big shots and taking the game over. And he made one of those shots and made eye contact with Dennis Gates. I'm here. I'm here, coach. You know, like, the guy you want me to be, I'm here.
He goes, yeah.
Yes, you are. All right, here's Kobe Brown. One thing that people talked about with Dennis Gates is his demeanor. Like, you can't tell by looking at him whether they're up 20, whether they're down 20, the game is tied with a minute left. Here Kobe Brown says Dennis Gates' demeanor, his actions rub off on the team.
Definitely. It sells the team a lot. We talk about this all the time. Everyone on the team gets asked this all the time. Where a team goes on a 2-point run, a 10-point run, or a 20-point run, he's the same way. So every time, you know, they might hit a three, we get a timeout, we look over at the bench, we're heading there, and he's just standing there with his hands behind his back. So now that leaves us. There's no reason for us to be yelling and, you know, screaming at each other because he's not doing it at us. We get there, he's like, everybody just calm down, power clap, and you know, reset. So, you know, it's big for the team, and I'm glad he's that way.
Even in the post-game interview on the court, he called the entire team over with him to do the interview, but he looked like, I mean, almost looked like they just lost, you know. And I think Dana Jacobson said something to the effect of, you know, are you surprised the way your team, what, something. He goes, no, I'm not surprised. We've done this all season long. He goes, you know, he didn't look happy. And she even said at the end of the interview something like, you know, but this, winning the first tournament game, and that's at least got to have you, you know, crack a smile or make you a little happy. And he looked around and he goes, if these guys are happy, I'm happy. And he still didn't smile, but, you know, I thought it was funny. Here's Dennis Gates about celebrating. Said they celebrated, but there's a lot more work to do.
It's emotional for me. I actually cried, and I'll be honest with you. My college coach, some of my teammates were here, and my family's here, so for me, it was emotional, but more importantly, I think the first thing I said, you know, was where's the radio, and put the song on, and the song was California Love by Tupac. That's what we were listening to. So celebration, no such thing. We got to prepare for the next opponent.
So we cried, listened to some Tupac, and then told the kids they got to get ready for the next game. You're trying not to like Dennis Gates, but you do.
I don't have to.
Even though you picked Utah State and you're bragging. You did.
That's exactly what, isn't that what Dennis Gates wanted from me?
Yeah.
He wants to be angry at people for picking against his team. That's motivation.
You were one of the people he's talking about here. Play that last clip.
Yeah.
When the press conference was over, Dennis Gates was not ready for the press conference to be over.
Anyone else who has not had a chance to ask a question?
Man, we got a lot of questions now. We wasn't supposed to be here. They said we was losing today. No. So they got questions.
Okay.
They got questions. Let's go. Ask some more questions.
They meeting Nate Ugedi.
Well, I did pick Utah State in my bracket. I got caught up in all this greatest shooting team in the history of the universe stuff.
You need to get caught up in Dennis Gates.
I am. That Tupac album.
You liked that, didn't you?
Ugh.
All right. There was a Vahe Gregorian retweeted the transcript from Dennis Gates because he was asked about his calm demeanor. What's really going on inside of you? You know, how do you stay so calm? And he said, as a coach, what I've learned is the level of cerebral emotional intelligence that one has to have, but also the impact that you can have with young people who do nothing but illustrate their life through what they see on Instagram, Twitter, and everything else. I want to exude something in sight, in plain sight, when they first take a glance. They're always watching. I want them to see a calming force about me. I want them to see confidence, not arrogance. I want them to see humility. I want them to see grace. I want them to see forgiveness. I want them to see our core values of friendship, love, accountability, trust, discipline, unselfishness, enthusiasm, and toughness. I want them to see that. I also want my words to reflect it. You never know what can crush a young player's dreams or their aspirations. You know one thing, there's nothing better than a player with having confidence. And that's what I want to give them. I don't know. I just think that was a great answer.
This is wonderful.
That's a great answer.
Wonderful.
All right, we'll... And he even said, I played the game a certain way. I was wired tight. I played as hard as I can. I would never coach how I played. And he was just a different guy when he played.
You know, that I think right there, you hear that more often than not. You know, it's almost like, I don't know about you, but as a parent, I'm more sensitive to the things my kids do wrong that reflect my bad habits. I don't want them to have the same bad habits I have. I want them to be different. I want them to be better than me. And I think you see that a lot of times with coaches. That's really cool.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll play some KU sound after their win over Howard. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Dennis Gates knows how to party when he plays a song for his team after they beat Utah State, now getting ready to take on the 15-seed Princeton for the right to go to the Sweet 16. Nate Bucati, what about Kansas and their win over Howard?
Yeah, before we get to the game itself, yesterday before the game, KU Sports posted on social media an interview with Greg Gurley and Bill Self, where Bill Self gave an update. And I think it's really great that they did this because sometimes, you know, look, everybody's got their own rights when it comes to their health and all that stuff. And some people want to be very private about those things. But obviously, all KU fans want to know how Bill Self is doing. I had obviously, with you and with Greg Gurley, when he was on with us last time, expressed that I was a little worried that he was going to rush coming back to coaching after a pretty serious situation that he's gone through from a health standpoint. Because as important as the NCAA tournament is, it's not as important as him having his health. And so I thought this was great. And so basically, Bill Self spoke yesterday before the game, gave a health update on himself and also why he wasn't going to be coaching the game yesterday.
Oh, I'm feeling much better. I've got more energy. I've been with the team all week, you know, on a limited basis, you know, in practice. But I'm there every day and doing a lot of sitting in practice. I've never really done that, but I'm getting better at that, I guess. But I feel better. But still, I'm not ready to coach the game. Norm's going to handle all the stuff the same way he handled it the first four games of the season and the Big 12 tournament, in which we started out 6-0. So I'm very confident with that. And so you know, but I'm getting better every day, and hopefully. Over the next 48 hours, you know, if things go well today, I can progress to the point where, you know, hopefully I can be out there the full time.
So we'll see if he coaches tomorrow. I'm very glad that he seems to be listening to the medical experts around him because, as you and I both know, not everybody does that, right?
More importantly, he needs to listen to himself.
Yes.
Listen to his body.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
But, you know, that can be tough, too, because when you're, like, an insanely driven competitor, like guys like Bill Self are, it's got to be just driving him nuts to not be able to coach an NCAA tournament game. But, you know, keeping in mind the bigger picture here. And so if he does coach tomorrow, I hope it's the right choice. I hope he's doing it for the right reasons and all that. And you just wish health for him.
If you ever wondered what type of strain or stress coaching a basketball game could be on a guy, just watch Eric Musselman tomorrow for Arkansas.
Right.
The physical contortions that he puts his body through, and
yeah,
screaming and yelling and sweating and everything else.
Right.
Berating officials.
Well,
having his assistants slap the phone out of reporters' hands. There's a lot there that he does.
Yeah. Know? But, you know, some people would say that maybe he's getting all that energy out, you know, instead of bottling it up. Maybe that's a good thing for him.
Or you could do it like Dennis Gates, who does this for 2 hours.
I personally kind of think more often that the guy that does it like Dennis Gates is better off. But everybody's got to coach their own way. You know, everybody's got to coach their own way. Everybody's
going to enjoy this Musselman experience. Man. I'm going to text you.
I'm going to enjoy it if KU wins. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it.
Just during you don't know the experience. I'm going to be curious to see what you say.
Right. Okay, let's hear from Norm Roberts, who was the acting head coach yesterday. And it was, like you mentioned, Stephen, it was a close game early on. Kansas pulled away late in the first half, and in the second half it wasn't much of a game. But Norm Roberts said that Howard definitely brought energy early against KU.
Give them a lot of credit. Howard has a good team. God, they're good. They can shoot. They have length. They play faster than I think we even thought they would. And in that second half, I don't think there wasn't a foul call for about 5 minutes, and it was just up, down. Our guys were begging to come out, and I think their guys were just as tired.
Now, this goes back to Bill Self. We heard from Bill before the game. Here's Norm Roberts being asked whether or not Bill will be back to coach the game on Sunday.
He's doing good. It's all day-to-day and how he feels and doctors and stuff, but he's doing well. He's been able to spend quite a bit of time with the guys and practice and that type of stuff, so he's doing good.
Day-to-day Bill Self right now. Meanwhile, K.J. Adams had some big moments in the game. He had a couple of alley-oop dunks that DeJuan Harris threw some amazing passes to him, and he ended up with 13 points in the game. He said it was nice to just play against a different team for a change.
The Big 12 really prepared us for moments like this and games like this, and Grady probably had a little breather. They weren't face guarding him as hard as usually teams were, so he got a little breather, and he just makes good shots, and that's what he did today and got on the boards.
He makes good shots, and DeJuan Harris just throws incredible passes. I could watch DeJuan Harris just in transition throwing passes all day. He had 7 assists and 4 steals, Harris. He did turn it over 4 times in the game. Grady Dick had a double-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. A stat sheet stuffer from Grady Dick, and he said the chance to play in the NCAA tournament for his home state school was a dream come true.
Oh, it's super special. You know, it's always special when you play at Kansas. But, you know, like you said, me being from here, I think, you know, it means even more to my family and see my siblings go through here. You know, I've been on campus since I was little. So the fact that I got to be in the shoes to play for this university is a dream come true.
Kansas fans probably better enjoy however many games he gets to play in the tournament this year, because I don't think they're going to get to see him play in a Kansas uniform after this year. He was... He was very, very good yesterday. But it's going to be, man, tomorrow, that's going to be a tough game. I think.
How worried are you about this matchup?
Pretty worried. Pretty worried. I do think this is a game, and look, again, I hope Bill Self does exactly what he needs to do from a health standpoint, because his health is more important than any one basketball game in any tournament. This is a game where I do think that having Bill Self would make a big difference. I think Norm Roberts is a very good coach. I think he's very capable. He showed that in the Big 12 tournament. But if it's a close game, I don't think there's a better coach in college basketball at making in-game adjustments than Bill Self. And I hope if he's not coaching tomorrow, they don't need to make a ton of adjustments. But watching that Arkansas team, I think that's a good basketball team, especially if they've got all their guys. They're athletic. They're bouncy.
NBA talent, man.
They got NBA talent. They got a fiery coach. I think it's a very tough game.
But
for
they're
KU.
Erratic and all over the board.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's the tournament, right? Like, you which team shows up? Who's hitting shots? But KU's a 3.5-point favorite, and that seems about right, which means it's going to be most likely a very close game.
Mm. Well, we still got one more day of the first round before we get to that tomorrow. K-State plays tonight at 8:40. We're going to have Stan Weber on at 7 to preview that matchup and get his thoughts on the first round at least the first day of the first round yesterday. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Stan Weber, Gary Lezak, the Border Patrol Fast Break, Jarrett Sutton, all that and more between now and 10 o'clock. Mizzou wins. Kansas wins. K-State plays tonight. It's March Madness. What time's Drake play? Come on, Drake.
About 6:30.
Drake play. Let's go, Drake. Let's go, Iowa State. Take that first step to Kansas City.
Hey, come watch some games with me at Meet Mitch today, 95th and Mission, 11-1.
Meet Mitch. Meet Nate at Meet Mitch on Sports Radio 810 WHB.